Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Ground ball to short. Jeremy Peña. 24 consecutive shutout innings. The Diesel is mowing down everything in his way. What a run for Hunter Brown tonight, allowing just 2 hits in 7 shutout innings.
Hunter Brown's making a strong case to be the American League pitcher of the month with yet another awesome performance, as he's now at 24 consecutive scoreless innings after last night's 7-0 win for the Astros over the Blue Jays. He went 7 innings, striking out 9 along the way, allowing just 2 hits with just 1 walk. 96 pitches to get through 7. Honestly, they could have left him in longer, but hey, you're winning 7-0. He's allowed 2 hits. Why do you have him pitch the complete game unless you're just an old school? You're a baby boomer and you just missed the days of the complete game. Back in my day, the kids used to throw 9 innings. And back then, you could get a bushel of turnips for 5 cents. I feel that way, though. I miss complete games. It was cool to see a pitcher actually go all 9 innings. It was nice to see Forrest Whitley come in, and he looked good. Someone texted it in from the 281. Bro, Forrest Whitley, Astros ace by far. Lance McCullers Jr., a close second. Well, if we're talking about ace of being talked about without actually pitching, that's the battle. It's between those two. At least Lance McCullers has pitched at the major league level. Forrest Whitley, a lot less so. But hey, nice 2 innings of work last night. We'll see if the Astros can finally get back over 500 tonight, because they're at 11-11. Might be a little more difficult to do it when Hunter Brown's not on the hill, you know? Especially considering for the Astros, on the hill tonight, it's someone who's been struggling just a little bit. Ronel Blanco, ERA about 6.5, going up against Chris Bassitt, who's actually been great to start the year. Chris Bassitt's 2-0 with a .77 ERA, and you consider the Astros' offense has been really struggling to get things going. This is perhaps going to be another game where it's nothing. Best case scenario, heading into the 5th, heading into the 6th, before the Astros offense is finally able to do damage. And maybe, just maybe, the way that the back of the lineup played last night will jumpstart them going into tonight. Here's a question. Some food for thought. Among Houston sports athletes, where does Hunter Brown rank right now? If you're going through an entire list of Houston sports athletes from the 3 major professional sports, where does Hunter Brown land? From a Texans perspective, he's competing with C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson. You got Nico Collins. After last season, you got to put Derek Stingley in there. You got to put Danielle Hunter in there as well. I think that's probably the consensus top 5 Texans in no particular order. Stroud, Will Anderson, Nico Collins, Derek Stingley, Danielle Hunter. For the Astros, obviously Altuve, obviously Alvarez. Fromber, do we still put him in that same conversation? I think so, just based off of what he's done all these years.
Brown.
Brown's definitely one of them.
I think Brown has a spot.
He has earned a spot over what he has done.
The 5th one's tough.
The last year. 5th among Houston Astros, is it Josh Hader?
Is it? It's not Paredes.
Yeah, I think it's not
Hader. Christian Walker. He can't be Cam Smith yet. Not Pena. Right. So, all right, we'll put Hader in there just for the sake of putting somebody in. And then from the Rockets' perspective, this is where it's tricky because, like, who's at the top? Like, Amen Thompson, I've said, I think has the most potential. But do any of these players get the same recognition as the other 10 that we've listed? You know, like, we don't necessarily need to come up with five on the Rockets. Is Jalen Green in the same conversation as a C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, Nico Collins, Derek Stingley, Danielle Hunter, Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, and Josh Hader? I don't think so yet. I don't think anyone really on the Rockets is quite there to this point.
No, and honestly, I think Amen Thompson's probably the closest.
Right.
Just with the late push, or not, I don't know about late push, but as people were turning in their defensive player of the year ballots, like his name was at the top of a lot of those
right.
lists. So it's more than just like a local thing. It's more of, you know, the national side of things. They're taking notice, and I think the bad news for Jalen Green is that people are taking notice.
Right, exactly.
Game one.
So, okay, how about we put Şengün on, just for the sake of putting somebody on? He was an all-star this year.
Şengün was an all-star, yes.
So, who is Hunter Brown more of a star then of these 11 players? Again, you got the baseball versus football, the baseball versus basketball thing. But I think if I'm ranking Brown, I'd have him ahead of Danielle Hunter to this point.
Just locally or nationally?
We're doing it locally, I think.
Okay, locally. Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
Brown I would have ahead of Danielle Hunter.
Yeah.
Mainly because Will Anderson's also there, and that works against Danielle Hunter. I don't know.
Is he ahead of Stingley? Probably not. Probably not.
Stingley's quiet, and I think his quietness lends itself to him perhaps being forgotten a little bit.
Yeah, but I think when Stingley comes up, everyone's like, yeah, that guy's
best corner in the NFL.
Best corner in the NFL.
Anderson, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. Hunter Brown could be, by the end of the year, one of the best pitchers in the American League, and I feel like that's sort of what, if he's not already.
Who's the other Texan?
It was Stroud, C.J. Stroud.
And
C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, Nico Collins, Derek Stingley, Danielle Hunter for
he's
the
not
Texans.
Than any of other than Hunter, he's not bigger than any of those guys.
For the Astros, Altuve, Alvarez clearly ahead of him. I think Brown's ahead of Fromber now. I think Brown's ahead of Josh Hader. So he's definitely a top 10 Houston athlete at this moment in time. And I think that of the many Houston athletes, he has the most range to continue to move up the board. I think it takes a big playoff performance.
I think so. I think it's a full season. Like if he's top 3 Cy Young, top 5 Cy Young kind of season, and then a couple playoff, you know, the Astros make the ALCS, he pitches pretty well in those games. Like, I think he shoots up pretty fast.
If you want to join in on this, you can. At ESPN Houston on YouTube, on Twitch at ESPN 975, 713-780-3776 to call to text. HTX Rhino says, Stingley only had one good year. Diesel is in 2 years of excellence. Stingley, it's been a year and a half. Brown, it's been a year.
I was going to say, it was most of last season.
Right. We're at about a year now for Brown.
Five starts.
Stingley, he came back from the injury that kept him out for a lot of the 2023-2024 season, and he had 5 interceptions in like 3 games or something like that. And then last year, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Like last year, you could make a case he was the best corner in the NFL last year. I wouldn't make that case myself. There are other people he's competing with, but I mean, he was first team All-Pro. Someone from the 713 brings up Joe Mixon. That is a good forget one that we forgot right there. Mixon is pretty good.
That's close. I think they're in the same. They're in the same ballpark.
Mixon's played in a Super Bowl, unlike every Houston Texan.
Yes,
at least of consequence.
Well, Gardner Johnson.
Yeah, that's true. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and he's coming in with authority.
Yeah, no, he might be the biggest riser just because people will know his name.
Oh, my God, they're really good at that.
Yeah, I think Mixon, I mean, as far as, like, player right now, who's a better player, I think I go Hunter Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as kind of body of work.
I think you're being Mixon. Running back assist a little bit.
No, I'm being this guy's the best pitcher in baseball list.
People hate running backs. That's totally true. He's got 8 K's to be made as best pitcher in baseball.
And like Mixon
right
is,
now, Got to make it happen for the entirety of the year, but right.
Was he the fifth best running back in football last year? It, like, he wasn't top three. So that's where it comes a little bit when you're having to make, like, cross-sport things. I just kind of rank you in, you know, in context of what you – and then in context of the other guy and kind of compare right. that. And right now, Hunter Brown's top five pitcher in baseball.
So, dumb conversation that just came out of nowhere.
Yes.
But Hunter Brown is definitely a top 10 Houston athlete at this moment in time. I think he's top 10. I think he's towards the bottom of the top 10, but I think he's in the top 10.
And, I mean, yeah, if we want to do, like, right now, he's probably top 5 as far as how they're playing right now. Or
oh, current, for sure.
He's,
I mean,
head of everyone on the Astros.
Brown's been better, been better than C.J. Stroud for the last year, for being honest.
Yeah, yeah. He's been better than Alvarez. He's been better than Hader.
To begin the year.
He's been better than Fromber.
He's been better than everybody but Altuve to begin the year. And
better than
Sengun, I think, maybe is in the top 10 as well, yeah. as far as this goes, because he is an all-star. Thompson is trending up.
Trending up.
Knocking on the
probably
door.
Probably 10, 11. Like, he's either right. honorable mention or 10. And then, yeah, the Texans. We can go bit by bit, but for the most part, most of the Texans are playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Or at least all the guys on defense.
Mm-hmm. Sean Mace behind the glass and Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You're welcome for this just brain fart of a take, this brain fart of a segment.
Yeah, he's top 10. Who's top 10 athlete in Houston.
Right.
Oh, wait.
Diesel. What?
Did we forget Houston Cougs?
We only did the professional
okay,
operations. Good. And while the Cougs are almost a professional operation, the Cougs, I always look at them as a team. I don't look at any Coug as an individual, you know? They're a pack of wild cats working together. Number two. Nothing wrong with being number two. Rockets number two in the Western Conference. Cougs number two in college basketball. Houston Texans number two in the second round of the playoffs. One of the four games that was played. Paul Gallant Show, stick around. ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Hunter Brown is currently a top 10 Houston athlete among the three major professional sports teams. We put together a list of others who he'd be competing with. C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, Nico Collins, Derek Stingley Jr., Danielle Hunter, and Joe Mixon with the Texans. Mixon got an interesting response from the 409. Joe Mixon, always a dirtbag to this texter, who hits women. He does not deserve to be on the top list of anything. What he did at Oklahoma was reprehensible, and I still feel this way. I think if you do something like that that's that violent, you shouldn't get a chance to play football for a living. Oh, but what about second chances? You got second chances to do lots of other things in life. But it does seem as if he has learned from that he is better for it. Again, how could I know? I only see him talk at press conferences. And he did have a weird incident within the last calendar year that had me a little bit leery of the fact that they brought him in. But if we're just talking about it from the athlete side of things, he is certainly in the conversation as far as top 10 among the three major professional teams. Another text from the 713. He believes Joe Mixon would be the number two running back in the league if he had an offensive line that was interested in blocking. Yeah, I think based off of last year, if he had a better offensive line in front of him, we're not talking about him as Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry. I don't know if two is fair, but as far as top running backs in the game, top 10. Because here's the thing you got to think about. Bijan Robinson, a very quiet, near 1,500 yards rushing. You have Jonathan Taylor. You have Jahmyr Gibbs. Josh Jacobs has been really good for a long period of time. And Joe Mixon, ultimately, is 15th in the league in rushing yards. And yeah, I agree. The offensive line for the Texans was not very good this past season. But 4.1 yards a carry. Not that much. So just something to keep in mind when it comes to Mixon. Top two is a reach. I mean, Saquon Barkley lost in the year that he had, where he rushed for 2,005. Derrick Henry was hot on his heels at 1,921. Now, he played in one more game, but, I mean, Derrick Henry almost had 2,000 yards again, too.
Yeah.
Playing for Baltimore. From the 281, Paul, I've never heard anyone talk like that when you imitate someone. Well, now you have.
So I don't even know which imitation you're. That's in reference to.
Because
you have a couple different ones.
It's the same voice. It's generally whenever it's somebody who disagrees with me that's how I hear them. That's what I hear in my head. You know, I hear it like that. I just hear a bunch of moaning. You're a moaning Myrtle. How about that Harry Potter reference? Will Anderson is a defensive lineman for the Houston Texans, and I think he's one of the top athletes in Houston sports among the three major sports teams. He was asked if he's let go of what happened for the Texans against the Kansas City Chiefs. Here is his answer.
Yeah, I haven't moved on from it at all. I was just talking to my coach about it today. That feeling like now that you know how close you are to almost being in the Super Bowl, it hits a little differently, you know? And for us, I'm like, bro, we almost there. When I broke it down to them, I was like, bro, we're almost there. Like, we have to have that intensity every game, no matter where we at, no matter how we get on the field, no matter if we start, you know, on defense first, like, we have to bring that energy every time. And never forget that feeling, bro. Like, I've been telling people I have to keep my composure, bro, because I'm just so excited for next year and what this team can do and what we can go and how far we can go, man. And I know we got all the right pieces to do it, and we just got to keep building that connection. And Coach D'Amico hit it on the head today in the team meeting, man. The connection is everything. When your players trust you, when your coaches trust you, man, everybody has the same goal. Everybody can go out there and ball. Coaches can get what they want. Players can get what they want, man. And the ultimate goal is to get the Super Bowl.
Why didn't the intensity happen on a week-to-week basis? I hear Anderson talking about it. Anderson's always a bit of a cheerleader when he speaks. I like Will Anderson a lot. Seems like a really sweet guy. Really funny to think that he's one of the most terrifying defenders from a pass rusher perspective in the league. But why did the intensity lag week to week? Why wasn't it there? You know, you had C.J. Stroud after games talking about how the team needs to have fun. You had mild gaslighting from D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick, amongst others, about how, yeah, things aren't as bad as they seem. They underachieved last year. And there didn't seem to be a psychotic level of perfectionism that I think is necessary to win. I say that as somebody who is a little bit too much of a perfectionist himself. Paul, what? You're perfect? No, I'm not. But I get very mad at myself when I don't do well, much more so than I get happy about myself when I do well. I think about the misses much more than I think about the wins. And I do think going into last year, the Texans liked the smell of their farts a little bit too much. And I think they kept on smelling wafts from that fine china glass that they were tooting in a little bit too long. Like, they were living off of that for a while. And yeah, it got insufferable. And I think that there was a little bit of a link between that and some of their struggles. Now, obviously, the offensive line and Bobby Slowick and the offensive line coach, Chris Strausser, it's the root of a lot of the issues. And the real hope is that these guys were just so effing bad, it can't possibly be worse this coming season, which is why they've just completely cleaned house there, brought in a new offensive coordinator, have the same offensive line coach around. But I wonder if they're going to be able to do that on a week-to-week basis, maintain consistency when it comes to focus, attention, and just giving a bleep. It's not to say that they didn't care last year. Just it felt like there were certain games that they just showed up, and then you saw a lot of carelessness, and you're wondering, wait, why did we put as much hype into this team going into this past year as we did? And that, I think, is leaving a very sour taste in a lot of people who just casually follow the team's mouth going into this coming season.
Yeah, it was very disappointing, and it was disappointing because it was so the same every week. It was just like the exact same game, and to Will Anderson's credit, very often the defense was playing plenty, not just they were playing well, but they're playing with intensity. They're playing with fire that I feel like the offense just never really showed. And does that just stem from the fact that their offensive line just getting whipped on every play? Probably a little bit. It's hard to be a super physical group when you're bad at offensive line. Hard to kind of impose your will because you're now depending on just being a passing offense. And guess what? You can't pass protect either. So I don't know. I do think that there could be some improvement from the team just by having more of whatever the swarm mentality that the defense has. If the offensive line just has guys that buy into that, like I could see that maybe not when you add up the Madden ratings, they're not actually better offensive linemen than the guys you shipped out, but it's at least a more cohesive unit and gives your offense a little bit of some identity, something to hang their hat on.
That is Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump in the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call, to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Let me tell you about my new friends at Rize, R-I-I-Z-E, health.com. You go there, and if you are looking to reignite the old spark, if you're looking for a little whoop in the bedroom that maybe ain't happening, don't feel bad about it. Don't be ashamed about it. Fix it. Go to risehealth.com. What does Rize Health offer? Something completely revolutionary. You've heard of all the pills and all that stuff, right? This is different. They got strips. Rapid enhanced released strips that you put under your tongue. Next thing you know, and you'll rise up, and you'll rise up, and you'll rise up. Because there's so much stuff in these strips. These rapid enhanced dissolving strips have sildenafil, tadalafil, and oxytocin, which leads to harder, longer-lasting results in minutes. It's discreet, and it works five times faster than pills. So visit Rize, R-I-I-Z-E health.com. Complete a quick questionnaire to connect with a U.S. certified, board-certified doctor. Get those Red Max strips and unleash your confidence today with Rize, R-I-I-Z-E.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call, to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Hunter Brown has thrown 24 scoreless innings consecutively, which is getting up there as far as Astros history goes. It is the longest such scoreless streak by a starter since Christian Javier threw 25 and a third consecutive scoreless innings in 2022. He's had at least six scoreless innings, Brown, and in each of his last three starts, the fifth Astros pitcher to do that, the last Roy Oswalt in 2008, the others Roger Clemens, J.R. Richard, Don Wilson. No Astros pitcher has recorded four such starts in a row. And Brown did that yesterday evening against the Toronto Blue Jays with a seven-inning performance. Nine strikeouts, two hits, one walk over 96 pitches. The old school of me wishes that Brown had actually gone for a complete game, but it was really impressive to see him do what he did, what he has been doing. And I think that there's a very clear case to be made that Hunter Brown is one of the top 10 athletes among the three major Houston sports teams, the professional ones in town.
Do you think pulling him after seven, it's a little bit of like, hey, listen, let's not ruin the streak. And
it could be.
Pitch 100 and 120 or whatever, however many he would have had to get those last two innings done.
It could be, but to me, there's a little bit of the math invading sports and ruining it going on, too. It's the idea that if you've made it through six innings, you're probably going to get pulled. If you've made it through the lineup two times, you're probably going to get pulled. And I feel like there should be exceptions for it. And I think a guy who throws fastballs and sinkers mostly at that velocity, obviously you want him to have his shoulder last for the entirety of the year. But he's a young guy. If you're a young pitcher, don't you want complete games?
I mean,
do people not care about complete games anymore? I mean, no one throws them anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think so.
But it's a hell of an accomplishment. It used to be commonplace. Now you never see it. And I hate that you never see it. I understand the idea of, yeah, you're managing workloads and stuff, but my God, it's a sport, and isn't it a cool accomplishment to throw a complete game? But now you see guys get pulled in the middle of no-hitters, and it's uncompetitive in my opinion. If you're that guy, you want to go for the no-hitter, and I think if you're that guy and you've only allowed two hits, you want to go for the complete game too. So it's nitpicking here. I'm not criticizing the Astros. Every team in baseball does it. Yeah. But for a guy nicknamed Diesel, I don't know. Let the guy go nine.
So Kevin Gausman led the league, actually tied the league lead with Max Fried and Christopher Sanchez.
How many did he have?
The most complete games last year.
I'm guessing he had three.
Oh, God. Caveman baseball over there. Yeah, the league leader was those three guys with two.
Two?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And then...
Honestly, now that I think about it, I'm surprised that there's even one pitcher with more than one.
Yeah.
Because I would assume that when they have a complete...
There's about 20 guys with one, and just going, like, looking at the names, it's like Ronel Blanco. It's like, whoa, that's when he threw a no-hitter. Dylan Cease, that's when he threw a no-hitter.
Yeah.
It's got... Basically, if you don't have... If you're not throwing a no-hitter... Framber Valdez had one last year. Basically, you don't throw a complete game unless you have a no-hitter going.
Man. Or a perfect game. But sometimes I get pulled from them, I'd bet. I don't like this. I understand it's smart, blah, blah, blah. It's still lame. Nolan Ryan was throwing complete games all the time. I exaggerated online and I said Nolan Ryan at age 69 was throwing 420 innings a night, but... Nolan Ryan, complete games. Let's take a look here. Guess how many complete games Nolan Ryan had.
Okay, so he played for like...
Play in four different decades.
Yeah, he played for what, like 25 different years?
Nolan Ryan...
28? Something like that.
Nolan Ryan, he pitched... oh my God, there's somebody. 27 years.
27 seasons.
Holy
okay.
crap.
So I'm going to go... I'm going to go with 200 complete games.
You know what? Warm. 222 complete games. So
I was just
222.
I was just thinking like 10 a season, probably less when he got older. That was the math.
He pitched so long and he was averaging 8 a year. The only guys with more complete games, Gaylord Perry, 272. Warren Spahn with 300. Guess how many complete games Nolan Ryan had in 1977?
In that one season?
In that one season. 162-game season. How many starts can you make over an 162-game season?
Like 33?
He had 33 complete games. Yeah, I think he pitched a complete game in every single game. And again, different eras, and we're talking about one of the greatest pitchers of all time. But, you know, that's insane. And now you get maybe two?
Yeah, you get
from
the league leader.
Best starters in the sport. It's lame. That's all. You know, we talk about how baseball is obsessed with its history, but it has gone away from its history so damn quickly.
Yeah.
Let Hunter Brown go the full game. Like, what do you really have to lose?
I think.
Other than his arm and, you know, Tommy John.
Yeah. I think Nolan Ryan should donate his arm to science.
Seriously.
I think he should. I think him and Aroldis Chapman should both donate their arms to science. Because the fact that Aroldis Chapman, like, still throws 103 miles per hour in, what was it? He's in his late 30s now? Mid to late 30s now?
I'm assuming yes.
He's never had a major injury. Like, I just... We need to know what's going on there.
37 years old, Aroldis Chapman.
Same thing with Nolan Ryan, where it's like, I feel like we could solve a lot of problems if we study the arms of those who...
And just the arm of Aroldis Chapman. We don't want to study the other stuff. We don't want to study the brain.
No. I don't want to be mean, but not much... science doesn't have much use for that. Mostly the arm. Mostly that left arm. What is distinct about his elbow that he can throw like that?
Good question.
Not get a UCL tear.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston from the 832. They just don't make him like Nolan Ryan anymore. But if anyone is close, it's Hunter Brown. His style lends itself to throwing complete games. I don't see a guy who's throwing a tons of filthy pitches and his elbow is essentially like rotating around 360 degrees in its socket, you know?
Yeah.
Which is not physically possible. But that's what some of these guys who throw curveballs are doing. So I don't know. Again, he's young, and it wasn't a no-hitter. It wasn't a perfect game. But, oh, it's not a no-hitter. It's not a perfect game. Don't do it. I mean, you've been taxing the bejesus out of your bullpen to open the year, right? You said you weren't going to make Josh Hader and Brian Abreu work a lot, but yet here you were last night, excluded because it was actually a 7-0 game, constantly throwing those guys out. Hell, Taylor Scott, I mean, he has two innings of work on Saturday. Let's put him in on Sunday, too. So you're overworking the bullpen. I don't know. Let the starter go the whole way. From the 832, baseball has become like a casino. Play the odds. Well, you know what? Sometimes double down unconventionally. Or because it went black five straight doesn't mean it has to go red. Keep them in when dealing. I agree. He looked good last night.
The one thing is just 96 pitches. If that was like 86, I'd be more. But that's just a small thing. But I do wonder if it wasn't 7-0. I wonder if it was 2-0. How does that change? If it's a closer game. Because 7-0, there is a little bit of it's a blowout. So, like, we're good here, Hunter Brown. But I guess in that case, you would just go to Brian Abreu still. But
they did score two runs
in the sixth.
Bottom of the eighth. They scored one run in the bottom of the seventh. But it was a 4-0 game when Brown was pulled.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So it was 4-0.
I thought.
And I remember just hearing Todd on the call as they were getting closer and closer to the third out. And Todd was basically saying, oh, yeah, he's going to be done after this. Which, okay, I get it. And as you said, sure, 98 pitches. But why? Why? Like, you just assume he's going to leave the game. Like, the broadcaster is making assumptions that because there's somebody in the bullpen that, yeah, he's done after seven. It's lame. Like, to assume that he's just out of the game. I don't know, go for 10 strikeouts or the complete game. It's a very small nitpick, but I miss that element of baseball. Complete games are cool. I like watching starting pitchers a lot more than I like watching relievers. And if you got a guy like this, let him go 9. I get that it could hurt him long term. It could, but it might not too. You know? From the 409, college pitchers throw 120 pitches or more on a regular basis. Yeah, it's college. They're not getting paid, so there's that. But it's lame to me. Considering how much this sport, above all others, cares about its history, we have entirely gone away from something that we used to see on a regular basis, and I don't think we have a good enough reason for it. It's other than fear of injuries. Let a guy go the full 9. Starting pitchers are cooler than relievers. No reliever, even if they're good, outside of Mariano Rivera or maybe Billy Wagner back in the day here, no reliever makes you feel 100% confidence. A starter pitching into the 8th and the 9th, you're like, damn, I respect that he's trying. I'm not even going to get mad if all of a sudden he gives up a run then. I like that he's battling in there. I like that he's hanging in there. And now we just have bullpens that are taxed and taxed and taxed. I don't know, maybe if you have a less taxed bullpen, so you're in better shape at the end of the year? I don't know. Just asking questions. It's weird that the conventional wisdom is two times through the order, you're done. Six innings, you're done. Extenuating circumstances, you get a seventh inning. Eighth and ninth, bring in the other guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's even more like what you said there. It's like seventh inning. Like a guy pitching seven, you're like, whoa.
Whoa, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, a guy pitching, like Christian Javier pitching six innings, for God's sake. Like that doesn't happen. Javier will get pulled like after five and a third all the time. Yeah. And I get it. He used to be a reliever, and you know now he's dealing with Tommy John. So, but I don't know. I the sport has changed, and me, a 36-year-old, is an old man yelling at a cloud. I suppose I just have to accept that and move on. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We've got some garbage time before we get out of here. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance, the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to get in before you get out of here, before we get out of here, and turn it over to the Killer Bee, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Zaff XXX comments. So stupid with your take, Paul. It's like playing Shingun until the end of the game when you're up 30. You don't risk the health and longevity of your young star players for a meaningless stat that will only get talked about for 15 minutes on your city's local radio station. Oh, you don't? Have you ever played a sport, sir? This is how you get back at people like this. Do you not compete for anything in your life? Are you just a dork with a calculator? Like, that's the logic behind it.
Oh, well, he's going to be a lot less tired at the end of the year.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not also. Maybe not. I think there's this idea that less workload means less possibility of injury. I don't think that is 100% guaranteed in every single case with every single athlete. I just don't. I think we assume it is, and okay, maybe it's if we're going to make that safe assumption, then maybe we just operate as if that's truly what it is. But if a guy wants to go a complete game, I think you should let him go the complete game. And I think it's lame that we've gone away from that. I get that there are is a soft cap at 100 for pitches, as he brings up a little bit later on the Twitch, for unexplained reasons. But why? That's my question, is why is it 100? Why isn't it 105? Why isn't it 110? It's just 100, or it's two times through the order.
Yeah, when I brought up that he threw 96 pitches, I was going to say, like, and I don't normally treat, like, 100 as, I think it's just a round number. It's very helpful of, like, 100 pitches, watch out. Like, it definitely looks like a scarier number when you see it on the broadcast. But yeah, I don't like that 100 pitches is like cookie cutter.
Yeah.
This is when you pull a guy.
How about we compromise and we say we can let a guy go eight and then the closer comes in and he gets his save or whatever. It's, I get why they're doing it. I just don't like it. And I mean, Shingun, you know what happens if Shingun's playing maybe at the end of a game? Over the course of a season, you know what happens? Your stamina builds up. Like, yeah, there's an idea that, oh, you're going to be tired. But there's also an idea of if you play longer in games, guess what happens? If you're a freak athlete, your body gets used to playing longer in games. And then you got a little more stamina. Huh? Who would have thought? I hate that we have gotten to a point in all sports where science has interjected and said to everybody, yeah, you shouldn't actually play sports as long as you can. It's just lame to the point where now we have so many load management games in the NBA. Hell, we even have it in baseball now. Wait a second. You need an off day in baseball? the off day in baseball for a positional player, I truly don't get. You're standing around the whole game. I get it more in basketball, but they don't play every single night. It's weird. And it's all part of the same logic. And I hate that we've let these effing dorks into sports. And yeah, that's exactly what they are. Dorks who have never competed for anything in their life. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Let's do a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Zap asks, when's the last time Paul threw 100 pitches? Fourth grade. Yeah, that's right. I threw 100 pitches. At least I remembered it at 100 pitches in my mind, because in fourth grade, I think this was the last year where in the Hanover, Massachusetts Pee Wee League or whatever it was, whatever level it was at that moment in time, that was the last year where you couldn't walk people in with the bases loaded. So here I am, like 8 or 9 years old, and I remember I would walk the bases loaded all the time. And then you couldn't walk in around with the bases loaded. So then I would just strike out people with this unfortunate count. And it felt like I was throwing 100 pitches. So yeah, that's right, Zap. Me, back in the day. I want Hunter Brown to stay in next time. You can't call him Diesel anymore if he doesn't throw a complete game. You get a couple complete games under his belt. Literally just two, because apparently you can't throw more than two complete games in a season. Even though Nolan Ryan threw 33 once. Like, come on. A guy in the 70s can throw 33. Today, we can't throw more than two. It's just soft. Anyway. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Zaf, I do appreciate your thoughts. Sorry for being a bully for a moment. I just hate that the dorks have invaded sports to the degree that they have. Garbage time. All right, guys. Well, first off, has this ever happened to you? Have you been in the middle of a radio segment or TV segment, and then all of a sudden, uh-oh, you gotta go? It happened on Inside the NBA last night.
The other thing about Kawhi is, you know,
you all right, big fella?
You all right? No. Catching a cramp?
Go ahead. Keep talking, Jeff.
Yeah, okay. We're on TV.
I know what we're doing. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's that olive oil you've been drinking.
I know.
Hey, take some matches with you.
Hey, listen, he couldn't hold it. After 40, he can't hold it no more.
That's a first.
He can't hold it.
Unless he's got something. That wasn't something planned, was it?
No,
it was
not planned.
Hey, listen, when you got to go, you got to go. There's nothing worse than when that happens to you while you're driving, because you're feeling all cramped up and there's nowhere to go. And, I mean, you don't want to do that to your seat, whether it's leather or it's fabric. Which is even worse.
Yeah,
there's no way you get that out. Yeah. No, you can't. Like, that's the one place where you can't, but you got nowhere to go, and you just got to continue to suck it in, I guess. I don't really know how you do that. That has never happened to me from a exiting downstairs perspective, mid-broadcast. But I have had the accidental, in the middle of a segment, I had had some, I think it was called Cafe Express. I had some Cafe Express pasta, the one that was on Greenway Plaza, which doesn't exist anymore. And I got food poisoning 100% from that. And in front of three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson and Adam Spillane, I, in the middle of a segment, said, excuse me, just walked over to a trash can and projectile vomited into that trash can for a good 3 to 4 seconds. I went back. I tried to finish the segment. I couldn't. I had to do it again. And then I said, we'll be right back. And I did the exact same thing after a 3-minute segment. And then I started getting chills and could not finish the show. People are texting again, Paul, you're soft. You couldn't even finish the show because you were puking all over the place. You don't get off days for baseball position players because they just started around. But you sit there and talk. You still get off days. Yes, but I also don't have, I don't know, 6 months off in the middle of my job. Like, I had to talk during the summer, you know? So, again, like, hard boy. Paul Gallant, soft boys, all athletes, all. And now you know the rest of the story.
It's going to be a long soft boy segment tomorrow.
From the 832, there's a layer of underwear and hopefully pants when you're driving. That's true, but it's not going to block all of it.
Yes, and also that's not a, like, hey, at least At least you're only pooping your underpants.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a...
That's not how it works.
That's not comforting.
You're
also...
You're not wearing a plastic bag.
At some point, you then have to move and get up and get out of... Like, it just... It's a terrible situation. If I could give any advice to people, don't poop your pants.
Don't poop your pants.
Don't do it. Not even if you're a four-time NBA champion.
Yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal.
It happens to all of us.
Yes. Or if you're Paul Gallant hosting a show with three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, always have some Imodium on you is really the only thing I can tell you. Because, yeah, there's sometimes where...
You'd rather be constipated.
I'd much rather be constipated than... Yeah.
Yeah. Shaq would have just sat there constipated.
I wonder if Shaq got there without any exiting early, if you will. And on that note, yes, we end the show with a big old steaming turd. We appreciate y'all for tuning in to this edition of the Paul Gallant Show. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Paul Gallant Show podcast on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Also, make sure you've subscribed to our ESPN YouTube channel or on Twitch at ESPN975. For our Twitchers, YouTubers, texters, callers, and everyone else who listened. For Sean Mays behind the glass, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.